aren't so bad. In fact, boxes give us growth opportunities in our spiritual lives. I believe that God brings certain boxes into our lives at certain times for us to get in, to learn, to grow, and to go on to the next thing. And I believe, you know, it's kind of part of our growth process. There's so many Christians that they get saved, they have that amazing salvation experience, and they stop right there. They never grow. They never do anything else. They're just, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's good. But God wants so much more for us in our lives than just that. God has so many different levels and so many different things that He has for us, so many different growth opportunities, so many people to go out and reach for Him. That, you know, it's kind of selfish if we do stop. Because, you know, the whole point of us being in this world is to help other people experience what we've experienced in Christ. That is the whole point of why we're here. Otherwise, when we get saved, man, we'd be raptured up into heaven and we'd be with God for eternity. But God leaves us here so that we can affect other people with the gospel. To be able to share the love of Christ with other people. Our base scripture that we're using for this series is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. How many Bibles do we have? We have some. Y'all are real excited about bringing your... Yeah, woo. Got my Bible. It's great. No. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll give you a few seconds to get there and do some speed flipping there. In fact, I need to change translations. There we go. We're good. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16. It says, But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Talking about a spiritual veil that blinds us. Even to this day when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts. Talking about the people, the Jewish people in the Old Testament. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I just read that, didn't I? But when the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. And so it's my prayer for this series that God unveils our eyes to be able to see into our lives and see where we are spiritually. See what box we're in. See the things that we're dealing with that might be holding us back from the growth process. And God, show us where we're at, what's going on in our lives, and show us how to get out of this place that we're in. Show us how to get unstuck from this box that we're in. All right? And so we've already talked about three different boxes. I'm not going to review those for you. If you want to hear about the other three boxes, you can go to our website, believerscommunity.org. Hit the podcast page and they're all right there. If you don't have internet, go talk to Miss Gail. She'll make you a CD of it. And, you know, if you want to get caught up on the other boxes. So let's talk about the first box today is the ballot box right here. Anybody recognize one of these things? Now, I'm supposed to tell you that this thing is not functional. I cannot change any votes or anything on this thing. You have to have the special cartridge that you plug into it before it works. I don't know how all that works, but it is not functioning and we can't mess with it, okay? So nobody come up here and mess with it. But the ballot box, how many registered voters do we have in here? Lots of registered voters. Wonderful. All right, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of you actually vote on a regular basis? You know, it's great that we have the freedom of choice in America to help choose who leads our country, to help choose the laws that go in, different things like that. You know, the things that we vote on, we get the freedom of choice. And that's one of the beautiful things about America is that, you know, the ballot box represents choices that we make. See, in our spiritual lives, the ballot box represents our free will that God has given us. See, we are free to choose whatever we want in life. It doesn't matter. God has given us the ability to choose our own destination, our own destiny. Whatever it is we want to do, we can do it. Nothing's going to stop us. Now, there are consequences to our choices that we make. But we have the choice to choose whatever. I love how it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a scripture that a lot of people know. I want to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I like how he says it in here. But God told us, he says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your family might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord, by obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life." See, God has given us choices. No, God does not make us follow Him. But God gives us the choices. You can follow me, choose life, choose blessing. Or you can choose your own way of life, do it your own way, and choose death and cursing in your life. I love how it says that, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your family may live. Just see the heart of God there, wanting us to choose the right way. But see, there's some people that think that, you know, whatever happens in life, that's the will of God. No matter what goes on, or, you know, every event that happens, you know, it's God's choice that these things happen in our lives. And that's not true. This scripture right here gives us insight into that. But that is not true because, you know, people choose to hurt other people. But that's not God doing it. That's not God telling them to do it. It's not God making them do anything. But we have our own choice, either to bless people or to hurt people. To be a positive in someone's life or be a negative in someone's life. God gives us those choices. Just think back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You know, they had a choice to eat the fruit or not. God didn't make them eat the fruit. See, why would God create us perfect, in perfect harmony and perfect relationship with Him, and then make a sin? That doesn't make sense. Why would God create us like that and then say, okay, you're going to sin, you're going to go against me, you're going to rebel against me, and chaos breaks out? No, that doesn't make sense. Why would God do that? It was the choice of Adam and Eve to eat the fruit and to disobey God. See, the ballot box represents our choices in life. Are we going to obey God? Are we going to go with our own desires and our own things that we want? You know, God doesn't want people to go to hell. God did not design hell to send people there. See, the original design of hell was for Satan and the demons, the ones that rebelled against Him in heaven. That's where they're supposed to go. He never wanted us to go there. But He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to live for Him and to glorify Him. He doesn't want to send anybody there. But it's because of people's choices that they have to go there. It's not God's choice. It's your choice where you go. Now think about, you know, 9/11, 2001. You know, a lot of people thought of that as a judgment on America. But you know what? That didn't have anything to do with God. Because it was the people's choice that was flying the airplanes. It was their choice to do that. God didn't make that happen. But see, you know, the beautiful thing about it is no matter what happens in life, God can use that for His glory. See, nothing sneaks up on God. He knew that was going to happen. And he's been using it for His glory, bringing people to Christ. It was amazing how this nation rallied together and became strong. And there's a lot of emphasis on getting into church and reading the Word of God and people coming to Christ. And it was just amazing how God used that tragedy for good. But it wasn't God's choosing to do that. It was man's choosing. We all have free will. See, we choose our own destination. We choose our own destiny by the choices we make every single day. The biggest decision that you're ever going to make is what you do with Jesus Christ. Are you going to accept Him? Are you going to make Him your Lord, your Master? Or are you going to reject Him? That's the number one choice that you'll make in your entire life. It's up to you. God's not going to make you choose one way or the other. But it's your choice. And see, every day in life, we wake up. We have to make choices. Are we going to live for God today? Or are we going to live for ourselves today? It's the ballot box. See, we all come to the ballot box at some point in our life. In fact, I could say we come to this point every day in our lives. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to choose God today? Are we going to choose ourselves today? What choices are we going to make? You have the choice to obey God or not. See, here's the deal. This is what it comes down to. See, when God lays something in front of you, whether it's, you know, a particular thing that he wants you to do, maybe it's, you know, quit your job and take on this job. It's following God's plan for your life. Whatever the choice that God lays in front of you, you know what? We should never say no to God. There should never be in a time in our lives where we tell God no. The vote should always be yes. But how many times do we say no? I don't think we consciously, you know, think, I'm just going to rebel against God on this one. You know, I don't think we do that. But by our actions, we do. By the way we respond, we tell God no all of the time. See, God knows best in our lives. He knows what we need. See, he sees the end. See, that's the one beautiful thing about God is, you know, God is not confined in this time and space that we are in right now. See, God is in heaven and he sees it all at the same time. He sees the past. He sees everything that's gone on in history. He sees what's going on now and he sees the end all at the same time. And he knows if we make this choice where we're going to end up. And he tells us, you know, you don't need to make that choice. That's going to end bad for you. And he knows. He knows the end result of every decision that we're going to make. It's so important that we go to God with all of our decisions. Say, God, what would you have me do in this situation? Because sometimes God tells us something and we think in our minds, that doesn't make sense. You know, why would God want me to do that? I don't see the good end on that. But see, God already sees the end. He knows how it's going to end. We should always tell God yes. But we tell him no all the time. Excuse me for a second. But there's lots of times the way we tell God no as we start reading our Bibles and we read stuff that we don't like. Anybody ever read something you don't like in the Bible? I think we all have. Some of y'all don't want to admit it, but you have. you're flipping through your Bible one morning. You read, it says, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. But I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you." Can't keep my Bible open. "And you'll suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give you life and the victor's crown." And we read that and we think, I don't want that part of the Bible. I don't want any part of that suffering to the point of death. And we don't literally rip it out of our Bibles, but in our heart. We say, uh-uh. I don't think so. Then we continue reading somewhere else. Jesus is talking to us, says, "You have heard that it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." And you're like, yes. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. It's in the Bible. I read it. But I tell you, oh man, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. Oh, I don't like that. And if anyone sues you and takes your shirt, give him your coat also. And I'd be cold. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to anyone who asks you. Do not turn away anyone. For the one who wants to borrow from you. Nope, not me. And we tell God no all the time on the things that we read. See, some of you are mad at me for ripping pages out of the Bible. It's the map. It's not no big deal. But what I'm saying is we rip pages out of the Bible all the time in our hearts and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to suffer that pain. I don't want to have to go through that. I don't want to have to sacrifice. I don't want to get uncomfortable. I want this cushy Christian life that, you know, I hear about on TV. Well, sometimes there is suffering in the Christian life. Lots of times there's suffering in the Christian life. But you know what? We read it last week. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we have to go through things in our lives to grow. Sometimes we have to get into the box and suffer some pain in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, if something is producing fruit, you trim it back so it can produce more. There's times that God is pruning us in our lives. He's taken things out of our lives that are holding us back from Him. And He's pruning stuff and it's painful. But it's worth it in the end. Now, I'm not saying, you know, God's going to kill somebody because, you know, they're messing up your life, or God's going to, you know, God's not into the death. See, the Bible says that it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ brings life and life more abundantly. See, I'm not saying God's going to do bad things to you. I'm saying bad things happen to you sometimes and God uses it for good. Sometimes we have to go through the pain. And we don't like to check yes in the ballot box for the pain. Hey, when it comes to blessing, hey, yes, I can take that. I'll take it. It's our choice. See, we have to learn to make the tough decisions and obey God. We got to learn to make the tough decisions and obey God. Never tell God no. Now that brings us to the next box that we're going to talk about today. And they go hand in hand. And that is the moving box. I hate moving. I hate packing. Anybody in here just love to move? Isn't it fun? Put all of your stuff in boxes, load it in a truck and go somewhere else. Just to unload it and to unpack it all. It's so much fun. But sometimes we have to get into the moving box. Sometimes, in obedience to God, He tells us to move. He tells us to go somewhere. And it's never a fun box. This is probably the least visited box that we do. But sometimes we have to get into the moving box. Pack up our stuff and go somewhere. See, the ballot box is all about choices. The moving box is all about action and obedience. These two boxes go hand in hand. Every time we go to the ballot box, we don't always go to the moving box. But we have to go to the ballot box before we get in the moving box. Because sometimes people move for the wrong reasons. And we're going to talk about that. But the moving box is putting actions to the decision that you made in the ballot box. It reminds me of a guy named Jonah in the Bible. And most of us know, you know, Jonah and the whale. You know, most of us know the story. But, you know, Jonah's going along. He's ministering and everything. And God comes to him and says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh and minister to those people over there. I'm going to do something big in Nineveh. But there was something about Nineveh that Jonah did not like. God told him to pack up his box, get in the moving box, and go to Nineveh. So he packed up his moving box and he went to catch a boat in Joppa instead. That was going somewhere else. He was in the moving box, but he was going in the wrong direction. And so he told God no at the ballot box. And in the end, yeah, he went to Nineveh. There was an amazing revival. A bunch of people, you know, came back to God. It was amazing. But he said no to God. And there were some things that happened in his life that he didn't have to suffer if he would have said yes. But that's not what we want to talk about today. We're talking about the moving box, saying yes to God, getting in the moving box. But specifically, I want to talk about the church that you attend. See, so many people are easy to jump into the moving box and go to another church because there's something they don't like. Some people get in the moving box in obedience and go to a different church because that's where God called them to go. Some people get in the moving box and go somewhere they're not supposed to go. Maybe it's, someone said something that upset them. Or maybe, someone offended them. Or maybe it's something you don't agree with something the pastor did. Or maybe you don't feel appreciated where you're at. But there's lots of reasons that people leave churches. And I'm not saying this to make anybody feel bad or anything like that. But I believe God wanted me to say this because he's trying to get to some people. But see, I believe that God calls you to a specific church, to a specific family. I believe God calls you to a particular place for you to serve, for you to invest in, for you to plug in, to offer your gifts, your talents, to support financially. I believe everybody is called to a particular church or place, a particular family. And just because you disagree with something, see, in families, you disagree all the time. You don't always get along. Anybody with kids knows this. It's a daily occurrence someone gets punched in the nose. Okay, not really. Literally punched him. Some families, yes. Some not so much literal punch in the nose, but, just people talking about each other and, just not getting along. He stole my toy. I want it back. All that stuff. We're about to experience all of that funness ourselves pretty soon. But, just like families, we're going to fight. We're going to disagree. We're not going to get along. We're not going to feel appreciated. And that's all part of being part of a family. But see, God called you to be here. Most of you, God called you to be here. There's some people here that God didn't call you to be here. You're supposed to be somewhere else. I'm not trying to kick you out. I'm just saying, ask God where you're supposed to be. See, there's so many people that love to go church shopping. And I understand this. When you first move to an area, you don't know anything, you go try out different churches. But there's some people that they're constantly in the moving box, going from church to church to church. I went to this church and they sang hymns and I don't like that. And so I went to this church where they sang, more modern music. But, they did, this, and I didn't like that. And so I went to this church and see, that's, we get so consumer minded when it comes to church that we miss God. See, you're not going to like everything about the church you attend. There's stuff about this church that I don't like. And I work here. But you know what? God has called me to be right here. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to invest my gifts and my talents and my finances right here in this church and support this church because this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't always agree. There's sometimes, the pastor will make a decision that we're thinking, why in the world? What possessed him to make that decision? I mean, that is the dumbest thing that he's ever done. But let me tell you something, guys. And I have a unique relationship with the pastor because I'm his son. And so there's times that I fall into son mode and there's sometimes I fall into youth pastor mode. And I have to be careful that when he makes decisions, I don't fall into son mode. I say, Dad, that's dumb. What were you thinking? But see, here's the deal. He has the vision for this church. God has given him a vision for this church. He has gone to God. God has instilled in him what he wants to do in this church, in this community. And this is where he has called me to be. So you know what? When he makes a decision, whether I agree with it or not, I'm supporting it. Because this is my church. He has the vision. When he makes a decision, I'm doing it. I'm backing it. See, there was a time when, we decided to quit doing Sunday school. We decided to quit doing Sunday night service. And a lot of people didn't like it. And that's natural. When you do something for so long, people get used to it. And this is the way we do it. But see, God put a vision in his heart. And we started to do life groups and do some different things within our services and in our congregation. And you know what? I didn't like how we launched life groups. just to be honest with you. I didn't care about it. And I told him too. And the beautiful thing about it is we can go to him and share our opinion, give our advice. But in the end, it's his decision between him and God, what goes on here. And, you know, I told him my ideas. And it's a good thing he didn't go with my ideas, because life groups would have been a big flop. Because he had the vision. He knew what it was going to take to reach the point to where life groups would be effective. And I'm so excited about life groups now. And I believe that, you know, this is going to be the core of what's going to help people to connect to our church. See, when you come to church on Sunday morning and there's, you know, 300, 400 people here, you can't connect very well. But you can join a life group of 10 to 15 people, connect in that group, learn in that group, you know, go serve in that group. And there's strong connections that are built through life groups. See, we got to be careful. We don't always agree, but we need to support. Because God is doing something. We need to hook up with what he's doing. And we don't need to let a man, our opinion of somebody, stop us from serving God where he wants us to be. Let me tell you what, any decision he makes, I'm number one supporter. You'll never hear me badmouth it. I might badmouth it to him. I might bounce ideas off of him, but you're not going to hear it. Because I'm supporting the vision that God has placed in this church for this time. And I believe God is using this church to do some awesome things in this community. We're about to go into Servolution, to where we go out and put, you know, hands and feet to what we talk about all year long and go and serve our community, show the love of Christ, not shove the word of God down their throat, not say you're going to hell, all that stuff, but we show the love of Christ through our actions. So we need to support what's going on. Support the vision that is in this church. Because God has called us to be here, to support, to do the work of God here. Are you going to say yes to God? There are some people that don't agree with the vision, what's going on, and that's fine. God is a church for you to plug into, for you to back. If God hasn't called you here, then go find the church that you're supposed to be in. But if you're supposed to be here, baby, let's plug in. Let's support. Let's work. Let's do what God has called us to do. Because God wants to do something amazing right here in Batesville, Arkansas, in Independence County. And it's going to take all of us to do it. It's going to take all of us. Let's vote yes to God today. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come up here. Now, I didn't say any of this to offend anybody. I just believe it's something that God wanted to get across. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that go to this church. There's a lot of things that need to happen. But we're limited because some people haven't caught the vision yet. They don't understand exactly how they're supposed to plug in yet. I just want to encourage you, find a place to plug in. You might make an amazing greeter. You might make a great prayer team member. You might be called to the nursery. You might be called to CR. There's so many places that we can plug in here at this church and use your gifts, your talents, the thing that God made you to do, to use that. Bring glory to God. And that's what it's all about. That's what church is about. It's not so that we can come here and you know, hear a great message and, you know, someone to pray for us and go home. See, the Bible tells us that we come to church to get equipped, to get built up, so that we can go out and do what God has called us to do. See, if you just come here and this is the only time that you get in the Word of God, then you're missing out on so much. Because we feed you one meal a week. And you're supposed to eat every day. See, the church isn't a place for you to come and eat. When you first get saved, when you're in the crib that we talked about the first week, yeah, you come here and you get fed and you grow and you learn. But eventually you got to get out of the crib and start serving. You got to get out of the crib and start doing. And some of you are ready to start serving, to start doing. And it's time. It's time to find your place. Father, thank you so much, God, for what you're doing here in this church, for the vision that you've placed here in this church. God, I just pray that you just help us to understand, to get the vision on the inside of us. God, that we don't have to be rallied every week, every year to do Servolution or to serve in the nursery or whatever. God, but you put the vision on the inside of us as well so that we can go and do what you have called us to do as a family. Father, thank you for placing us here. God, help us to be faithful to this church, to this family. God, and ultimately being faithful to you. Father, I just pray that you just search our hearts right now, God, and reveal to us anything that would be standing in the way of a growing relationship with you. Father, just thank you that, Lord, that your word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, God. We need your freedom today. God, bring us freedom today because we know that you are here. Father, I just pray that as we begin our time of prayer, God, that you're just drawing people, the people that need to come up and pray. God, the people that need to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, that they're drawn. That you bring them up here, God, and you just minister and bring that freedom into their lives. Father, we thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, go ahead and come up here. They'd be glad to pray with you.